you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Ken Griffey Jr., welcome to Intentional Talk.
This is the Home Run Derby. Won that three times. And did you know this? And you might know this because it's probably been thrown around. Today is the anniversary from Baltimore when you were the only person ever in any kind of competitive performances to hit a ball off the warehouses. And I love this because you mentioned laughing. And even you wanted to watch this one because you knew this was this.
Well, I hit it. I knew I got it. But I didn't know. And then the funny thing is I back up like, okay, all right, that's a good one. And then they start going, he hit the building, and that's when I just started laughing. I'm like, because I didn't think I was going to hit the building. I mean, that's a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 20 feet in the air, and it's still 440 feet to that wall. I mean, that's
465.
What, 65?
465, yeah.
I mean, that's over 500 if it's on a level playing field.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, when you watch the guys now and you watch the Derby, does it kind of give you those butterflies inside and take you back to those moments?
No, I'm looking that they got to do this for 4 minutes going, ooh, that's a long time. That's what I look at going, that's a long time. I mean, 10 outs is perfect. Now, these guys swinging for, 9-10 minutes. I mean, that's a whole lot of time.
Dude, thanks so much for joining us.
Dude, thank you. Thanks
it's
so
awesome,
much for coming
man.
On.
Congratulations
we really
on
appreciate
this.
It.
That is really cool. That is Ryan Dempster, host of Intentional Talk. He's down there at the site of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, kind enough to give us a few minutes on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Ryan Dempster with us on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, man. Griffey was, he's the coolest, right? Like, cover the baseball game. Like, do you get awed? Is he a star among stars even to you?
Yeah, well, and I think, he's a star among stars to everybody that's here. You see it in the hotel lobby, at the field. Everybody wants to have a minute with him and talk with him. And, I was lucky enough to be a teammate of his and a friend. So it's been, awesome to just have that relationship with him. And, he's one of the GOATs. You could put him on the Mount Rushmore if you feel like it. He's one of the greatest center fielders to ever play the game, one of the greatest pure hitters to ever play the game, offense, defense. So just an absolute treat. And always has that smile and still just loves being around the game and loves being around the kids.
Demp, when Willie Mays died and we were having conversations about the greatest living ball player, which used to be Joe DiMaggio, and then it was Willie Mays for like 40 years, it's like, it's got to be Griffey now, isn't it? Even if Bonds was better, there's something about Griffey that is akin to what Mays had in terms of the awe of his peers and like the presence in that way.
Yeah, well, I think it was just the all-encompassing, right? Like, it was, sure, the home runs, the 50 home runs a year, and then the 50 doubles he'd hit, too. And, he always talked about, I wasn't a home run hitter, I was a line drive hitter. I just made mistakes and hit home runs. he'd drive in 120 every year. He'd play the most unbelievable Gold Glove center field, robbing home runs, the stories, too, and playing in the show with your dad, and just everything he did and all the expectations, and he overshot him. And to me, he was like the guy that I watched, growing up, obviously Pacific Northwest and the Mariners. It was Junior, and he lived up to every expectation.
Demp, you are living the life, man. How is it being down there for the All-Star break with Sierra and with your pal Millar? I mean, your former roommate, you're one of your best buds. And you guys are just, I mean, my God, it's got to be unbelievable to be down there in the position you are. You having a blast?
Yeah, great time. We actually got down here Thursday. Kevin missed out. He was doing his thing at the ACC Championship in Tahoe, finishing 19th in the Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Wow.
And me and Sierra held the fort down while he's gone. We had the Celebrity softball game on Saturday. And then now today, I'm here with my crew. We're actually picking out some hats right now. I got my son Brady with me, and then we're going to go out and have the show and watch the Home Run Derby and watch these great players put on a display of power and energy, and then an All-Star game tomorrow. I mean, you're right, living the good life. It's a blessing, man. It's so awesome to be able to continue to do this. And you know, the relationships that you have in the game and see all these great people and now the young stars coming up is just a blast, and watching them enjoy their moment.
Is Brady the one who just graduated, and what hats did you guys get?
He's got a boatload over there. He's rocking a Cubs hat right now. It looks pretty sick. And then he got himself a Red Sox hat, a whole little collection. So it's pretty solid. He's pretty fired up.
Now, no spoilers on the softball game. I know it's already happened, but our producer Shane says it's the second best sporting event of the year behind the Super Bowl. So no spoilers, please.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, man. There were some guys who took it very, very seriously. Like, I don't know if T.O. took football as seriously as he took the whole celebrity game. And there's some pretty good athletes out there running around, some not-so-good athletes, you know, but that's okay. They're celebrities in their own right. So in their field, they're superstars. But it's a different beast when you get out there on the baseball field.
So
I think my favorite one was Kieran Pollard, who's one of the, you know, the most famous cricket players in history. He plays in Mumbai. And you know, one of the biggest premier sluggers, and the ball would get hit to him, and he had a glove on, and he didn't know what to do. Because he's like, I don't use one of these when somebody throws it out or hits it out to me. So he was kind of funny. It's like he wanted to throw the glove off and catch it barehanded. And I think he probably would have looked better doing that than with the glove.
That's Chicago, man. 16-inch rules. Go ahead, man.
It was pretty fun, man. And we had such a great time. So, yeah, a blast doing that.
So All-star games to me are really about the pomp and the circumstance, and they're not about the games. It's about getting like the young and the old and the present and the past stars and just getting them all together and having a bunch of nostalgia. Do you have a favorite all-star game moment?
Yeah, well, obviously, personally, I mean, hard to top New York when you go in the bottom of the ninth inning in a tie game at Yankee Stadium and strike out the side.
That's a good one.
You know, I can definitely hang that there.
Wow.
You know, just, yeah.
Who were the three that you struck out?
I struck out Ian Kinsler, Deonna Navarro, and the eventual MVP, J.D. Drew. So it was, you know, and that's after not throwing in a strike warming up. I was literally so bad. Giovanni Soto, who's warming me up, came out and said, hey, is everything okay, bro? And I was like, yeah, why? He goes, because you haven't thrown any strikes. Like, it was god-awful. I thought for sure I was losing the All-Star game, but ended up getting through that. It went 15 innings. But, yeah, I just think as a kid, you know, I just lived for the intros, man. Those are all your favorite players, you know. It's like Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. You go down the line, and some of those All-Star games, like, you know, the Home Run Derby Griffey at Coors Field, and, you know, the one at Camden that you guys let in, him hitting the ball up there, like, just those kind of things. I just, you know, you have such admiration for these guys, and then to watch them do it all and put it all together. And then the spectacle, right? I think, you know, from a pitcher standpoint, the one 1999 at Fenway Park, and Pedro did what he did to start off the game against those guys, was probably as good as we've seen in performance as a starting pitcher ever. And hopefully we get some of that out of Paul Skenes tonight.
Yeah, tomorrow night. Yeah, and that's the thing, that Pedro performance, I remember my dad sitting there saying, reminds me of Carl Hubbell back in the day. You know, it's like there's this continuity for the whole thing that would be awesome, and it would be cool to see Skenes against the American League lineup. By the way, that game in Boston 25 years ago, that's the one I'll forever think of because of Ted Williams in the golf cart.
Williams, yeah. Yeah, and all the players, and you see, when you talk about it, that's what it's all about, like, when you see these other Hall of Famers looking at Ted Williams with admiration and awe, really, it just shows you the respect that he had throughout the game and how everybody felt about him. And for a moment, you see these grown men on you know, the highlights or the pedestal of their career acting like kids. And what better moment than that? I think that's just so cool.
One problem I continue to have, and I don't think it's going to get solved any year soon here, is the dumbass uniforms that they invent every year. It ought to be the home or road jersey for the team that they're actually on. It's always such a cool thing. It used to be a cool thing to see everybody's individual team jersey all there together on the same team. Make the hats match. But, damn, can you talk to people? You know people. Can you do that, please?
We were talking about the other day. We've actually been talking about it for a couple of days. I hope that at some point it goes back to that. You know, like, listen, you can wear the other ones. Home Run Derby, you can have them for workouts. You can do all these different things, batting practice, whatever it is. But when the game starts, to have the, you know, the All-Star logo on the patch of the arm with that home, you know, Cub blue, or that, you know, that White Sox stripe or whatever it is, you know, the Yankee. How cool is that if you have a shortstop from the Red Sox turning a double play with a second baseman of the Yankees?
Yes!
Just things like that that are just, you know, remind you and have nostalgia. I know we're moving with the times, we're moving and shaking, it's a different era, but I just love the traditional, you know, uniform on the day of the game. But there's also some really awesome, like the hats that they have, New Era's hats are unbelievable. I'm telling you, they're so, as the kids would say, they're lit, Maddie.
Oh, God.
You know? It sounded natural until you said, as the kids would say.
Yeah, that's right. You got to lose the proviso. Exactly.
That's right.
But the, yeah, and not only that, with the uniform thing, if you're promoting the sport and you've got new viewers theoretically watch the All-Star game, show them the jerseys that these guys actually wear.
What team is Bobby Witt on? What team is Paul Skeens on?
Sure. You're building connectivity on the whole thing. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I just think it has a little bit more pop to it, you know, because there's nothing like a home white. It's just like the cleanest uniform there is.
Ryan Dempster for a few more minutes from the site of the All-Star game, the co-host of Intentional Talk with us on the Score. I don't know if you heard what Jim Edmonds said about Christopher Morel doing the dab and celebrating as he was running around the bases after his multi-home run game. Who's the guy who pimped one off you the hardest, Demp?
I never got pimped a whole lot. I really didn't. Which was kind of, you know, I look back and be like, man, I earned the respect of the players. Like, I remember Vladimir Guerrero, senior, not junior, hitting one off me at a pro player stadium. I threw a slider that didn't slide. And he hit it so far, when it hit the upper deck, it was like the Andres Galarraga one that rolled up the tarp that was in the upper deck, you know?
Yeah.
And I turned around thinking, this dude's still in the batter's box, and he was already around at first base. And I'm like, wow, man, that's awesome. I got Vladdy's respect because he's not showing me up. It was a different game, you know, even you didn't get it very often. Maybe Dante Bichette. I think Dante Bichette probably had the best quick bat drop flip, you know, like the short arm, whip it back around and drop the bat. And that was kind of Dante's style. He had a little bit of flair when he played, but it wasn't disrespectfully ran hard around the box. Guys did back then. They didn't really style a lot of home runs.
Yeah. Does it bother you at all when they do?
No, I mean, you know, it's your choice. I always say this, listen, let the kids play. Boys will be boys, do their thing. You have that emotion. You want to celebrate, you know, hitting a home run and you're down 7 and you want to flip the bat. Understand that the guy out on the mound might have some emotions too. And they may not be happy like your emotion. That's all. You know, and so every once in a while, you know, you might find yourself sitting on your tush in the batter's box next to that bat. You know, that could happen too.
It does. And it does. Did A-Rod ever homer off you after one of the most legendary and beloved incidents in the history of the game between the two of you?
Yeah, he did. Next at bat, you know, I knew I should have just stayed inside. You know, when you go down and away, he was trying to just hit a fastball back up the middle and went over the fence. So it proves they work. But, you know, I think that's all part of the game. And at the end of it, that was the best season of my career. We got to win the World Series, and that's all that mattered.
I was telling these guys about Jeffrey Leonard and one flap down, you know, like that's this game has been pissed off at celebration forever, and it always will be on some level. It just kind of evolves a little bit at its
time. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. And like Sarge used to hit the helmet off and, you know, do those things like when he knew he had one, but like you had to back it up. I think that, you know, when you're going back to the beginning of that, sometimes for the guy back when I played, it's hard when you watch guys that maybe might have 3 home runs and then they hit one and, you know, they act like they got a 50 that year, you know? And so guys are like, what are you doing that for? Or like, read the room. Like I said, you're losing the game 8-1. Like, is it more important you hit the home run or win the game? And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But I think there's always been, listen, Ricky Henderson was the king of pimping home runs, walks, it didn't matter. But he sure did back it up when he got out there, whether it was on offense, defense, stealing bags, whatever it was. So he didn't mind the fact that he did it because that was just Ricky being Ricky.
47-51, 3.5 out of the wild card, but with 6 teams in front of him. Last place in the Central, but playing better heading into the break. I know there's a couple weeks left, but at best guess, Cubs buying, selling, or standing pat at the deadline?
Best guess, I'm an optimist. Why not buy, right?
All right.
Nobody gets any trophies on July 12th. You know, like, it doesn't happen. We see it all the time. Look at the Diamondbacks last year. They didn't start getting hot until middle of August, and things started to click, and next thing you know, you find yourself in the World Series. So you got the pieces in the locker room, but you have to execute. You have to put winning first and foremost. Whatever I can do to win. That means I'm bunting a guy over to get the lead. I do that. I win the game. That's the most important thing, more than any individual stat I have, more than any individual performance. So those help us win games, bring that attitude every day of what can I do to help our team win. And now you find yourself a buyer at the trading deadline.
Any parties with bands playing? Any music going on down there during the festivities, Demp?
There's a lot of stuff on. I'll tell you what, man. This Globe Life Field has a lot of action around it. Beautiful hotels. We're staying at the Lowe's. All the players are over there. They got the live hotel. You got Texas Live with music going every day after the games. And then, you know, last night they had the Players Alliance party. We got the MLB party tonight. All kinds of stuff. And it's just a really, really great time. And everybody's smiling and having a good time down in Texas. And it's hot, though. It's sticky and hot and warm down here.
You guys doing red carpet tomorrow? You and Sierra?
No, sir. Nope, not happening. I'd be sweating through. I'd have a water balloon and a headlock if I, you know, I'd be sweating like crazy out in that heat. I'll stay in the inside air conditioning.
All right, well, shut down the after parties just like you did at the Chelios festivities, all right?
You know how I roll, Danny, absolutely.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Deb.
That's Ryan Dempster from down there.
How about that?
Texas.
Son just graduated from high school. Got him down there for the All-Star break. That must be nice.
Yeah, no, he's probably having...
It sounds good.
He's probably having fun.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Ken Griffey. Oh, Junior, he's a teammate and a friend. Of course he is. Of course he is.
What's your favorite All-Star game memory? Well, it's probably when I struck out the side in the bottom of the ninth. Oh, that's pretty good.
That's a better one than mine.
Yeah. I was thinking about the time I watched Toby Harrah get introduced when I was a kid watching TV.
When I had my credential pulled from the All-Star game in Kansas City for asking questions to the owner of the team.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was
That's too bad.
It was the first All-Star game that I attended.
I remember one time I left my sweater at an All-Star game in Seattle.
No, you didn't. You did not.
It wasn't me?
Well, can Danny back
up? It was not you.
Before we get to Speaks, Danny, what was the question you asked?
Are you willing to operate the Royals at a loss in order to field a winner? And if not, would you be willing to sell the team?
Oh, that's nice.
That's a fair question. That's not an egregious question.
I'd
assume your tone came off a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Well, he
our
was.
Our guy Tone Issues over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, our noted hip-hop expert Tone Issues.
Tone Issues.
He gets paid to do the wild thing. Whatever.
You know, that wasn't you that left your sweater behind,
it
by
wasn't?
The way. Someone might have said it was you, but it wasn't you who left it behind.
Oh, that's right. I took the fall for somebody. I told that's them right, that yeah. I left my sweater. That's
you want to whiteboard that for the audience?
No, we can't. So.
No, I'm...
it's my fault for bringing
yeah,
it up.
All right, yeah. Awesome.
I mean, we could. Nah.
Awesome.
We'll tell people in the suite on Friday. If you're one of the five pairs of people with us in the suite, we'll tell them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's why you got to win these contests, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, like there's a lot of very visceral All-Star game memories for me because. First of all, obviously a baseball kid and a baseball guy, and I love it, but also it's the best one. It might not be great, but it's still easily, far and away, the best one of all the All-Star games because it remains hitter versus pitcher. I mean,
you can't fake it. You can't fake. You're going to pitch at maximum velocity,
correct.
And so if they're going to throw at maximum velocity, you're going to try to hit it.
Right.
You can play basketball at 70% speed.
Yes.
You don't want to risk injury playing football.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there's a ground ball coming to the left of Trey Turner and he thinks he might be able to dive and get it, he's going to dive for it.
Yes.
You know, if Bobby Witt Jr. is on first and there's a double to the gap, he's going to bust his ass and try to score, and you might see. Peak, you know, running speed, Bobby Witt Jr. You're going to see incredible skill sets on display. And I could rattle off tons of specific All-Star game moments where I saw the incredibly skilled players doing something at the peak of their powers. And I was like, holy hell, I can't believe I just saw that. We're going to get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
All right. Start to finish. You'll be locked in.
It'll be on the TV start to finish without a doubt. It'll be a companion of the highest order.
I'm with Demp. I like the start much more than the whole experience. The intros, the pomp, the circumstance, seeing Skeens start the game against the top of the order for the American League, and then normally it's hard. It's like when is Shota going to get in? You have no idea,
right?
You know, so it's to get to the stuff that you care about. It's a little tougher, but so my attention on it usually wanes a bit, and then but it's on the whole time.
Shota will be early. I bet Shota will be early. I don't know about Crochet, but both those guys will get in, and should get in.
They'll both get an inning,
and I would think, and it would be incredibly. It should be incredibly fun to see those guys. In my opinion,
we have some incredible audio that we'll get to as we go throughout the day today. We want to talk PCA and Morel, the likelihood of the White Sox trading Garrett Crochet. Spiegs is getting worried about stuff, but
Coming up next, a bold stance from one Charles Barkley. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Parkinson Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on the Score.
It's fair to say that of all the presidents we've had, I think it's fair to say that Trump would have been the funniest one to see get shot. You know? For real. He'd be talking like when it happened. The shooter would be coming out and be like, sit down. You're gay. Get hit. He'd definitely make a funny noise into the, like, he'd get hit, be like, eh, and fall. He'd fall funny. I don't think he would be the funniest, but the only reason Biden might be the funniest is because I think Biden's the first president you could punch assassinate. You know what I mean? Just a body shot. My dad had that joke. My dad. So you can't be talking about killing presidents.
Shane Gillis with some terrifyingly prescient stand-up comedy.
Everything has changed, hasn't it? Everything is. We actually live in a world where the attempt happened the other day. It feels like it has changed the entirety of culture and news consumption and thought process. Is that an overstatement?
Probably, but I understand what you're saying. You must remember. You remember Reagan.
I remember Reagan.
The assassination attempt of Reagan. Like, I mean, it's the first assassination attempt of my lifetime that I remember.
Yeah,
I remember the reporting of the
Lincoln. Congratulations.
No, like the,
remember the Lincoln one. Speaks, you remember the Lincoln.
Yeah, Speaks remembers Lincoln.
No,
obviously.
Bruce remembers the Lincoln. See, I had to. You know, you take a shot at me, and then not a shot.
Started lashing out in all directions.
Yeah. Hey. We're not taking shots
not
today.
Taking shots at anybody.
Yesterday, Saturday.
I mean, but it's crazy. I mean, Les, remember JFK?
Yes. What happened, unfortunately, to President Kennedy in 1963?
That was November 22nd, and we don't know if it was Lee Harvey Oswald or a whole big thing there, but he kind of got blown away.
Yeah, I think history says it was a whole big thing. I think history has decided it was a whole big thing.
It still kind of is. We still don't really have answers yet.
No, we solved it. Remember, we solved it here? No,
some people think it's tied into what happened this weekend.
Same guy.
Some people do think that. Okay. Yeah. That was a take of Les's that aged very well.
Yeah, it was indeed a whole big thing. I do remember Reagan. It's funny, I thought of it the other day. Because not funny at all, actually. But I thought of it the other day because...
That was funny. Good self-edit. Go on.
Had a show Saturday night, a Sonic 45 concert, right? And we're at soundcheck and that news breaks and everybody's looking around at their phone and everybody's, you know, and then later on, we're in the green room, we're talking like, are we going to play? Like, should we play?
That's funny.
No, yeah. That's what Glenn said. If he had died, would we be playing tonight? No, I don't think so. Like, the whole thing would have shut down. And what I remembered was when Reagan got shot that night, they decided to play the NCAA championship game. It's when Isaiah Thomas won the national title as a sophomore for Bobby Knight. And I was locked in on that, but I remember that it almost wasn't played that night, that the day that Reagan got shot. But by the time tip-off came, it was like, well, I think he's in okay condition. So, yeah, I guess we'll play. So I wondered if things would have gotten canceled and the world would have stopped. You know?
Obviously the world would have stopped if it was an inch to the right. And I was thinking that, okay, someone died at a presidential rally and there was an assassination attempt on a former president. It's one of the most significant historical events of my lifetime. I'm 37 years old. It's the first assassination attempt of my lifetime. I remember when there was, you know, things were being sent to the Obamas that were being intercepted. Like people thought there was anthrax and things like that. There were a lot of threats and attempts on his life that we didn't really know about, that certainly didn't play out on television, but that were reported on, but nothing like that. And so I was like, this is an unbelievable thing. And it was terrifying. And it was weird because I'm with Owen and Eli, and I had just like seen it on my phone. And it's like, my instinct is to turn on cable news, but you're not going to do it. But I was like, okay, this is an assassination of attempt of a president that was broadcast on live TV. I was texting about it with Pony. Like, he said a great question. He's like, do you think there'll be a moment of silence? But do you think it gets acknowledged tonight at the All-Star game? It's a crazy thing that happened. But because it was unsuccessful, the answer is, and then it's just an incident of gun violence in America, which we have every day. We're kind of desensitized to it. Like, I was alarmed at how quickly I moved on with my day because of how desensitized we are to these sort of things. That feels like it should have been a much bigger deal. And then I have two more pieces of information about my reaction that I will reveal to you, and you could tell me how you feel about them. Because I think people mostly know my politics, like, but it was relief. It's relief. Like, that it would be so scary. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want that. Everybody in the world should be able to condemn what happened. It's horrifying. But, like, imagine what would have happened. And would we be at work today? Would the world be shut down?
If that attempt had succeeded?
Yeah, man. Like, it feels like we're so polarized and we're at each other's throats so much. Like, that was so terrible what happened on Saturday that obviously, thank God, it missed for his life and his family and all of that. But like, as much as I dislike the guy politically, it's like, you don't want that.
No,
you
got to
condemn political violence, right? Mm-hmm. But we can't say that that's not who we are. We're a country of gun violence.
Well,
with
yeah,
a history of political violence.
Been desensitized to it to the point that
that's what I'm saying. It was it was weird. I was like relieved because of how scary it would have been if it would have been successful, but also because it was unsuccessful, I'm like playing with Paw Patrol dolls. 10 minutes later.
Well, you shouldn't have done that, dude. It was a serious day.
I'm saying, it was weird.
Well, we all have to live our lives somehow because everything has shut down. You still have to take care of the minutiae and the daily rigors of our boring and somewhat meaningless little lives. You know, it's just it keeps on going. It just made me really sad and still makes me sad because it does nothing get people to calmly tone down angry rhetoric and crazy conspiracies and immediate blaming of parties and polls and immediately, you know, turning it into content and such. It just seems to make things worse and deepen divides. And that's really sad. Maybe everything does these days. I thought the president saying what he did with the tone that he did was welcome, and it, because it's there should be no part of you that's like that wanted that to succeed no matter what your politics are.
Sure,
it's like it's not how we do things. We can't be a nation where that's how we do things. But I was disappointed at just how much deeper and uglier it seemed to have gotten very, very quickly.
Charles Barkley made a pretty sentient point in the whole thing.
I don't like to be too serious, but I got to be serious for a second. No, listen for a second. Something really sad happened today. Somebody tried to kill the President of the United States. Now, that is really f***ed up.
Technically, it wasn't the president, it was the guy trying to
kill the president. Listen, I'm not going to get up here and act like I'm a Trump guy, but I want to say this. I wish President Trump help. I wish him help. Now, I want to wish him the best. We should not be trying to kill the president of the United States.
Break for applause.
We should not be trying to kill the President of the United States. Thank you.
We should not be trying to kill the President of the United States.
Right. You're right.
I'm with him. I'm with him.
We don't all agree on anything.
I get why the NBA on TNT is so popular. I get it now.
That's what I'm saying.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's super popular.
Kenny Smith disagreed, by the way. Yeah, no, he didn't.
Everything's a take show. Yeah. That is.
God.
Can I share my last like prevailing thought that I can't shake from the whole thing?
Sure.
Other than relief, obviously, horror, the quickness of which we moved on because we're desensitized to gun violence and those sort of things. Yo, he took it like a gangster. I mean, the showmanship, I would have defecated in my pants.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
I'm not kidding, man. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. It grazes his ear. He goes down. Within seconds, he stands up and is pumping his fist at the crowd. The level of political showmanship and projecting of like strength, even if it's completely deranged insanity.
Well, yeah, because there's, you know, but sure, because what you're seeing is the pathological narcissist that will not be derailed by absolutely anything.
Whatever. I don't know what it is, man. It there is something to the strong man of projecting strength.
Oh, yeah.
Like that picture with the flag and the fist pump and the Secret Service all around him and the blood on the side of his face is one of the most incredible photographs ever taken. Like, of American history of my lifetime, I'll say, right? I'm not a historian of photography, but like, you think about like them raising the American flag at 9/11. You think about the flag on the moon.
The officer in Dallas when Jack Ruby is shooting Lee Harvey Oswald with the look on the cop's face.
It is one of the craziest pictures, you know? And so it's just like, okay, it was, I got it to, you know, I'm not a fan, man, but like, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's...
You can disagree with it. I'm just telling
I'm not disagreeing. I don't want to pile on the guy. It's just it's hard when you've felt and known a certain way about somebody for decades.
But I mean, the guys, they still tried to kill him.
Yeah, my God.
And I don't want to... It's mortifying and it should be condemned by all of us.
Absolutely.
I just, like... To there's something to the, like, I don't know. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't be raising my fist. It was an unbelievable reaction.
Yeah, there's
I could not believe the reaction.
There's a it felt sort of disassociated
from the reality
of what happened, which often has been a part of his character.
Yeah, and maybe you're just in shock or whatever. But I was just like, I couldn't.
I get you.
It was unbelievable to watch.
Here's how I chose to deal with it from a stage banter perspective. How do you do fun stage banter at a rock and roll show on Saturday night after all that went down, right? So I said, folks, I know at one point between songs, folks, I know we're all troubled by the news of the day. Want to wish rest in peace to Richard Simmons and Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
See, you told jokes.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
I'd get a kick out of it.
I mean, seriously, Richard Simmons and Dr. Ruth on the same day? That's
a crazy day.
Someone tweeted, we almost lost an entire Letterman panel.
Yeah. And that was the other, there were some hilarious memes on the internet because that's the culture that we live in now.
In all seriousness, like, no president or former president or anyone should be targeted by a rifle,
number one.
It doesn't matter if it was a bullet or a glass shard. He still took an assassination attempt and survived it. Number three, it's adrenaline that got him to get up and put his fist in the air, and he probably just secured an election because that's how shallow we are in terms of voters. But number four...
We have precedent, too. I mean, Reagan's approval rating skyrocketed.
There was a conspiracy theory around that where people didn't originally think that Reagan actually got shot, that they ended up going with that as storyline because he had been thought to have been frail in office at the time. So, yeah, they always get politicized for power.
But most importantly, number four, the father that died in that, an innocent bystander protecting his kids. I think Corey Compratore, I think is his name. That's the guy that should be celebrated. Yes, forget your politics. He was attending a Trump rally, brought his kids, whatever you want to think. He still lost his life protecting his children, his family against something that wasn't supposed to happen. That sucks.
Oh, of course, man. It was a mortifying display that was broadcast on live television in American history. One of the craziest.
Yeah.
Sequences that you just to like witness it in real time.
Oh my God. And all of it. You've talked about the news coverage of the photographer who took the shot that you're talking about. And the
Pulitzer Prize winning photojournalist.
Yeah. And the news coverage of the guy from the New York Times who took the picture where you can make out the bullet as it is behind Trump up there. It's unbelievable. It's like just incredible journalism and photojournalism that has gone on. It's going to be indelibly marked in all of our psyches forever.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on the score.
Speaking of big days in history, NCAA college football is back.
Man, the level of excitement, the volume of excitement. I never had a phase where that was the game that I played. So I
was
don't.
Was it after your video game?
Yep, after my video game heyday.
Yeah.
For sure. So did you have a college football
phase? It was in my like, so I haven't had a system since the PS3, and they're now onto the 5. So a couple systems removed. And it was, why it was awesome to me was that you could do, Madden was great, but everyone basically had the same playbook in the Maddens back in the day. But when the college football video game came out, oh, this team runs the triple option. This team's spread out. This team's different. So you could do so many different things. And then the dynasty mode of the college football game was recruiting. So, okay, I need a corner. I need a quarterback. I need this. So, like, you could, it was the, instead of just trades,
yeah,
you could really, like, develop the pro and turn, you went to Syracuse, your team sucks. You could turn Syracuse into a powerhouse.
Gotcha. If you could recruit. Well, now you could, but is there a transfer portal? Does everybody go in there and use the transfer portal?
I'm sure. I haven't played since college, NCAA 2005, probably. And, you know, so it's been a long time for me, but yeah, it was Darren Sproles. That was the guy, Darren Sproles and L. Roberson at K-State.
Oh, man.
That was the because just like Mike Vick in the old Madden games, or Randall Cunningham, speed.
Oh, Darren Sproles in real life, one of the great, most fun athletes on a football field.
But he was, you know, RB43 or whatever his number was. I think it was 43, his number at K-State. And so it was, you know, he wasn't the player, but it may as well have been the player. And so he's like, oh, you got a real fast guy, and then you'd run the option with him.
Darren Sproles, the reference point for a friend of the show, Tariq Cohn. As soon as I saw Tariq Cohn on the Bears, I'm like, ooh, that feels a little like Darren Sproles-ish.
Yeah.
Right there.
Except not.
Good. Yeah, good for a while, though, Tariq Cohn.
Yeah. That was what was amazing about Darren Sproles, though. At that size, to be good for a long while. Right, guys at that size are not normally, but yeah, man, it was. But now it's, the game is back and the players are getting paid and they have first and last names in it.
Yeah.
And so if you ever did feel dirty, which I did not at that age, I was like, I am just going to play this video game and not think about that these players aren't getting any money for it because I'm 18 years old and what do I care? And so, yeah, it was fantastic. But
so no video games at all in your life?
None.
How about phone games?
None.
Nothing like that?
None. No, just Twitter.
Yeah.
just Twitter. And the news, it sucks. And scrolling like videos, like reels on Instagram.
Yeah, it's all the same, really, when you think about it.
It's all just the time sucks.
Although, when you scroll videos and like on Twitter, you can tell yourself you're in show prep. You can tell yourself you're in the knowledge.
And I do.
Oh, sure. That we're in the knowledge acquisition business, and that's it. Sometimes it is knowledge acquisition, and sometimes it masquerades as it just enough.
But I'm excited. I mean, I feel like Owen is probably a year or two away from like a Nintendo Switch. You know, like Mario's type games for like plane trips and things like that.
Dude, the Switch. Ruben's all about the Switch and Mario Kart.
I loved Mario Kart back in the day.
Got him the little steering wheels.
Very cool.
Could take the steering wheel and put the little, what do they call? Whatever the little controllers are called for the Switch.
Controller?
Close enough. But yeah, and you can put it in there and just like, it's good fun.
I'm real excited to get back into video games and just blame my kids. Like that's the plan. Because, I mean, when Steph and I started dating and she moved in back in Kansas City and I hit two TVs in the living room and we're, you know, watching football and baseball or whatever. I was like, yeah, and I would love to play video games. And she's like, you need more screens in your life?
Like need? No, not need necessarily.
Not need. She's like, you got a lot of hobbies that have screens in them. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
You know, when did you have to give up the second TV with Steph?
I mean, we had it the whole time in KC, and then we had it at the apartment. You were at my condo.
Yeah.
We just didn't put it in the living room when we bought the house in the burbs.
Now it's in the side room.
Now it's in the
side room. So when you bought the house, that was her line, like, hey, we have a house. We have an extra room now. We'll put the two TVs in there and, like, a traditional living room.
That I'd have a room. Yeah, okay. but it has... We have talked about it because the beauty of the two TVs was if we're watching something together,
you can keep an eye on a ball game.
I could keep an eye on a ball game,
right?
And now it's like so sometimes we end up going into the room with two TVs to do that. So she comes into the less comfortable room.
Yeah,
great overnight host.
Great overnight host.
There you go.
Yeah.
To do it.
Made me feel welcome all the time.
So we've thought about putting it back in the living room, but she's like, it doesn't look as nice in the living
room. How about the iPad? You ever break out the iPad as a second screen in the living room?
Yeah.
By the way, you'll love this, what they're actually called, the controllers for the Nintendo Switch. Joy-Cons. It's a Joy-Con. So it's con for controller for short, but all the joy, got to get that in there. Sorry, what were we going to say, Shane?
I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean it.
No. I remember now. So this week, now with Christine, is she lining up all the non-sports things she wants to watch with you knowing, or does she not know that this is a dead week?
Oh, no, she knows. We do it anyway. I go second screen on the iPad like a lot.
Okay.
I used to say, I proudly don't have a second TV in the living room, but I use the iPad, I don't know, four nights out of seven, maybe, so we can watch a couple things at the same time. Such is modern life, babe.
Yeah, a lot of balancing going on there. But also, it's nice. I'm like, I'm going to go watch sports. You watch whatever you want out here. It's totally fine. A little separation. So
I had a question thrown at me last night that I ended up realizing I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid of something sports related. I'm panicked a little bit.
Panicked?
Maybe not panicked. Nervous. It's time for me to see my rational thought provider.
All right.
I brought my copay. My card.
I need money.
Yeah, you as my rational thought provider. I need your sports help for rational thoughts. You have any?
I don't know what you're nervous about, but you can tell me next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.